Dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is the Kingdom Identity Movement. And to talk with me about this, I have Stacy Jacobs. So let me give you a little bit of background about Stacy. Stacy has an undergraduate degree in accounting. He has a Master's of Arts in Apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's pastor at Macedonian Evangelical Church here in the Charlotte area. He's a fixture at the National Conference on Apologetics. And that's all of the good, you know, stuff that we talk about, all the professional stuff. But I know there's some other things going on that you probably want to mention.
That's right. I'm married to Felicia Jacobs, who I've been married to since December 23rd, 95. It'd be 11 years for us this December. And we just had our fourth child, Aiden Timothy Jacobs, back on June the 5th. So he's 4 months old now. And, man, it's something else. Look. They say that it doesn't really matter much to add another one to it, but that's not true, brother. I mean, you know, going back to changing diapers and washing bottles and stuff, which I do, that was a big transition. But that's pretty much it.
When God said, be fruitful and multiply, y'all really believe that?
Well, I'm trying to make up for what the rest of the folks are not doing.
I'm going to try to catch up to you, brother. I've got a long way to go. I got to, you know, start from scratch. But brother, one day. One day,
one
I'm talking
days.
About the 12 tribes of Harold here. All right, I guess we should get on to the topic then.
Yeah, you're killing me.
What is the Kingdom Identity Movement?
Well, the Kingdom Identity Movement is essentially a white supremacist organization, and they believe, in effect, that they are the chosen, elect people of God, that they are the covenant people, that they are of the original tribes of Israel, or what has been referred to, even as they refer to themselves, as of the 10 lost tribes of Israel, you know, the covenant folks, those who were had split off and gone to the northern kingdom. They're saying that's essentially where they've come from. So they're God's chosen and elect people, but only the white folks.
Only the white folks.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Now, how did you get involved in this?
Well, because at the National Conferences on Apologetics that Southern Evangelical Seminaries put on for the time that I've been involved with it anyway, since 1999, from 1999 to 2005, I did a lot of my teaching on the Nation of Islam. Not every year, but most years, that's what it was, and how the theme for the year related to the Nation of Islam. So, you know, I did a lot of research and the teaching, of course, on that. And I was saying, well, I'm always talking about how we have this virulent, spurious black group out there, African-American group, if you will, that's out there. But, you know, are there some among the Caucasian peoples of America, if you will, that kind of share some of the same things that they do? And so I was searching on the web one day and came across the Christian Identity Movement and stumbled across this Kingdom Identity Ministries. And, man, I mean, they had a lot of things that appeared to be on their face orthodox, particularly as it relates to evangelicalism. But the more research I did, the more I saw that it really wasn't. And they had a great similarity to the Nation of Islam. So that's kind of how I got into this.
Because I remember you called me up.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, maybe it may have been the same night or the next day. You know, as we read through their doctrinal statement ourselves, we saw that in large part it was somewhat misleading, as you've heard it said about cults, that they have the skin of truth stuffed with a lie. And as we read through the doctrinal statement together, we could see on some points it was like, well, yeah, if you look at this one word or this one phrase, that's kind of like a red flag. But that's, as we said then, that's like, well, man, we've been trained to see this. But what if folks have not been trained? You know, man, they could be easily pulled into this stuff and thinking that they are part of the true church of God.
Yeah.
But in fact, they're of a bigoted racial, if you will, cult of the church.
And that's one of the important things, is that why we really need to be really up on what we believe and our doctrines, because like we were saying, I mean, in order to know a counterfeit, you study the original.
Correct.
But the average person reading that doctrinal statement would not have realized that they were dealing with the counterfeit.
I don't think so, because when you look at some of the verses that were being quoted, and maybe we'll get a chance to see some of those today, you know, perhaps not. But nevertheless, if you look at the proof texting that they had done, which is typically what cults do, they pull texts out of their context, biblical texts out of their biblical context, to make them say things that they really don't mean. And so when they have their doctrinal statement replete with so many scriptural references, someone would think, in fact, when reading those verses, you know, as I had done, even today, and said, wow, you know, these guys really have their stuff together. Maybe white people are the true Israel. You know, maybe right. Maybe everyone else really is in trouble.
Right. You've referred to them as a cult. So mm-hmm. Define what we mean by cult and why you classify them as a cult.
Well, in essence, you know, we're talking about a cult, I guess, in practical terms. We're saying a group of people who have deviated from some standard of orthodoxy of some other group. Typically, they derive from some other group, in which case they may or may not maintain some type of identity with that group, but they deviate and they no longer espouse or adhere to some key tenets of orthodoxy of some other group from which they derive.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Well, how did this kingdom identity movement start?
Well, in effect, it started in the 18th century from
wow.
The research I was able to do on this.
It goes way back.
Yeah, but and the Kingdom Identity Ministries proper did not begin there, but it had its roots in something called the British Israelite or British Israelism movement, which was something I believe Richard Brothers was this gentleman's name, who wrote some papers or a book titled Revealed Knowledge of the Prophecies and Times. And this is the first time that British people, British Caucasians, I should say, were referred to as of the 10 so-called lost tribes of Israel. So with that work starting in the late 18th century, around the 1790s, then you had a man named John Wilson, who wrote lectures on Israelitish origin around that time. And what he did was tried to offer some proofs that, empirically that is, that whites, in fact, the Anglo-Saxons and the Germanic peoples were in fact derived from Israel, and that they were the true Israel, again, from those 10 so-called lost tribes. Now, you come on up to a time in the late 19th century and early 20th century where, in effect, you had a guy named, Miller, I believe was his name. And he did some works that came to be known as Millerism, where he started to add prophecy to some of the things that he was doing. Okay, he was saying stuff like, Jesus would return in 1843 and 1845. Now, that was around the same time that this Wilson guy was writing as well. But his teachings, this Miller teachings, Edward Miller was, I think, was his name now. His teachings actually opened the door for even more virulent stuff to come in, because guys then start to say, when he started with this prophecy and things like that. And by the way, of course, it did not come to pass. We know that to be the case. It was called the Great Disappointment. But that opened the door to some of his teachings making their way across the pond, as it were, to some folks here in America, where it started to take on its current form under Christian Identity and under the Kingdom Identity and other sorts of organizations like that, like Aryan Nations and this type of thing, where anti-Semitism was later added to it. And
so is there a connection between the Aryan Nation and the Kingdom Identity Movement?
In terms of a lot of the material that they use, yes. You have them typically referring to Howard B. Rand, the guy who brought in the anti-Semitism. Edward Hein was the first person to come in and do the mass marketing of what came to be known as Anglo-Israelism, whereas it's not just the British folks anymore, but it's all white people everywhere, all of you of European and also, of Germanic descent, if you will. And they make a distinction there. I don't know how that is, but they do. And then there was another person, Bertrand Comperet, Comperet is his name. And he also added to it as well, essentially, again, bringing an anti-Semitic flavor to the entire thing. Now, there was one more person I think I left out, Wesley Smith. And this guy was noteworthy for in 1940, he started this teaching in Los Angeles, California, and took the Ku Klux Klan out there. And so they caused a lot of trouble with the folks who were non-white out in California at that time by espousing this kind of doctrine.
Is there a connection between the Ku Klux Klan and the Kingdom Identity?
Yeah, if you think about it in a practical sense, of course, because the similarities, in effect, are that they adhere to white superiority, okay? They adhere to inherent inferiority of other peoples in the world, and they believe that God is exclusively for them. So you can see that common thread running through a lot of the white supremacist groups, of which, again, Kingdom Identity Ministries is one of them.
Okay, now I want to examine their core beliefs. So I know you've touched on some of them already, but mm-hmm. let's go through their core beliefs and tell me what they are and tell me why they're wrong. Because someone listening may say, oh, well, that sounds okay.
Let's consider it in two facets, okay? Because I alluded to earlier that some of them seem fundamental in their disposition, okay, in the way that they're rendered. And some of them are clearly radical, at least from the viewpoint that you and I hold or any reasonable Christian would hold. So fundamentally, here's some of the things they believe, the triune Godhead, even though they use words like manifestations, some other type stuff will lead you to think that they're modalists, like the Jesus only folks. Don't mean to digress, but like the Oneness Pentecostals, when they talk about God being one in person, the Kingdom Identity Ministries, that is, God being one in person, they talk about him being manifest in three distinct persons. Right. Again, that is modalist language, so that would be something to think about, but they do acknowledge the Trinity, okay? The inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture they hold to. They believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They also believe in the resurrection of Christ on the third day from the grave. They believe in salvation by grace through faith. This is something they espouse. The second advent, they believe in baptism by immersion. And they also believe in a personal being called the devil or Satan. So those are some of the things, if you think about it, that we see even in the doctrinal statements I believe we have for the seminary at Southern and even for our churches, some of those things we hold to as well. But now here's some of the radical things, and I've touched on some of these already, that the Anglo-Saxons and those of Germanic descent are the original humankind. They believe that Adam is the father of only the white race, not of all humankind, but only of the white race. That whites are the true Israel, that is, the only true people of God, that Jesus died for the elect only, and they are the elect. No one else is the elect.
He only died for white people.
Only died for white people. whites have a higher form of consciousness than non-whites, so that allows them to be able to fellowship and to know God. Again, they're very strongly anti-Semitic. They're very strongly anti-U.S. government, and they believe that the Bible supports all of their claims. That they hold to.
So where did non-whites come from?
Well, that's a good question. In their doctrine, they only give one indication of other people descend or even being present and what their lineage is, and that is of the Jews. They're especially hateful of the Jews.
Why is that?
Because they say that the folks who call themselves Jews today are really not Jews. They reference Revelation 2 and 9, Revelation 3 and 9, I believe, as well, in saying that that's simply not the case, that these folks are lying, and they call themselves Jews, but they're really not Jews, and so on and so forth. Heavily heavily anti-Jewish rhetoric that they have. But they say that the Jews descended from Cain, all of them. And Cain descended from Satan himself in a physical liaison, copulative liaison, if you will, that Eve had with the deceiver in the garden.
Wow.
That is their doctrine. They literally believe that. And I think in 1 John chapter 4, I want to say, 1 John chapter 3, I believe it talks about Cain actually being of the devil. So they quote things like that to say that, to substantiate their position that Cain actually is of the children of the devil. he is of the other offspring, the progeny of Satan, and that the Jews were descended from them. So, but the other people groups, the other ethnic groups, I didn't see anything where they talked about the progeny of those folks.
Now, here's an interesting thing, because it
or us, I guess I should say.
Yeah,
I don't know where we came from.
This made me think on the day of Pentecost. When I read about the day of Pentecost, and I read that there were people there from Africa, from Arabia, from Mediterranean, and so the first church were a compass under a conglomerate of all these different ethnic groups. So how do they get around that?
Well, they get around it the way that many cults do, right? They just ignore things that go against their position. It's as simple as that. You know, I don't have to make an excuse for that. I don't have to make a defense, an apologetic for that. Your interpretation about that is wrong. You know, those folks may have been there, but that doesn't mean that they were a part of the true church.
Okay. They just have
because
be
it's clear that it's clear that the true church is in white people only.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. You said that they have proof texts; they can demonstrate this from scripture.
Sure,
I would love to hear that.
Well, let's pull out their doctrinal statement.
Okay,
and let's look right at this. Here they have, and they have several of these statements that they have in their entire doctrinal disposition again. And here they have expressly, I'm reading a quote right from their doctrinal statement. We believe the white Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, and kindred people to be God's true literal children of Israel. Only this race fulfills every detail of biblical prophecy and world history concerning Israel and continues in these latter days to be heirs and possessors of the covenants, prophecies, promises, and blessings Yahweh God made to Israel. This chosen seed line making up the Christian nations, Genesis 35:11, Isaiah 62:2, Acts 11:26, of the earth, stands far superior to all other peoples in their call as God's servant race. Isaiah 41:8, Isaiah 44:21, Luke 15:4. Only these descendants of the 12 tribes, now they've made a switch there, of the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad, James 1:1, Deuteronomy 4:27, Jeremiah 31:10, John 11:52, have carried God's word, the Bible, throughout the world. Genesis 28:14, Isaiah 43:10-12. I mean, do I need to keep going here? Isaiah 59:21. And as you look at some of these verses, now we haven't read any of those.
Right.
But when you look at them, as I've had an opportunity to do, you will see that they're proof texting to try to align with whatever statement they're making at that time. So there's no systematic approach to doing that. They're just going through and saying, here's where the scriptures support what we're saying in regard to this one point that we're trying to make.
Could you give me an example? Like, I'm curious on what these scriptures say that allow them to.
Well, great. Let's
to make that.
Now,
leap.
I did have a favorite one. Let me see if I can find it. Let's look at this one first. But I did have a favorite one that I was looking at. Let's go back to this one. Let's pull some of them out. Genesis 35:11. This is about the chosen seed line making up the Christian nations. Now they quote Genesis 35:11. So. I'm turning over there in the New American Standard Bible, okay, Genesis 35:11, and it reads, God also said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. Now, they call this the Christian nation. Let's read another one. Isaiah 62:2.
Oh, I don't see the connection.
Oh, I'm.
Maybe it's just me.
Do you want me to be an apologist for them? You can't ask me to be an apologist for them.
Well, here's something while you're doing that.
Yes, go ahead. I'm right there at that verse. Go ahead.
Now, when I look at the 12 tribes of Israel, mm-hmm. I look at Joseph. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, right?
Yes.
Now, didn't he have them by an Egyptian woman who was Pharaoh's was a daughter?
I don't know if it was Pharaoh's daughter, but certainly she was an Egyptian.
Right.
Yes.
So then we have two of the tribes who come from the lineage of African lineage.
I agree.
But you were saying that they just won't even deal with that issue. They don't try to explain it away. They just won't deal with it.
No, they have not dealt in terms of how we would approach things as we are rationally and reasonably and examining the truth of their claims. OK, the truth of their truth claims, both the validity and the material truth. They're not approaching things to put their arguments in that way. It's just a given for them, even on the basis of anecdotal evidences, if you could refer to it as that. They would look at things and say stuff like, well, it's clear that white people are superior to black people because look at how many of you are in jail, or that how many of you have not contributed to the upbuilding of this great country. And over there in your own country of Africa, of which there are many countries, Africa is a continent, but of which there are many countries there, you know, you guys are all poor and dying and stuff like that. So clearly we're superior to you guys. And, you know, the Jews are just lying now. And we know that they're descended from Cain. So they wouldn't make a systematic attempt to try to offer a reasonable, a well-reasoned argument for their beliefs. It's just some of these things are just taken as fact for them.
So what about you were saying that the Jews come from Cain? Mm-hmm. Do they offer any evidence for any of this stuff besides taking some scriptures out of context?
No, not as we would consider, again, any well-reasoned, well-constructed arguments that whose premises would lead to probable or even necessary conclusions in truth. No.
Okay.
But nevertheless, they still have a large following. See, this is the same kind of trap that we typically fall into. Even with groups like this or the Nation of Islam, even though they are they appear to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, just on the basis of pigmentation, okay, because they're two different colors or whatever, but they still hold a lot of the same things, and people yet follow behind them. We say, well, how can they believe that? That's ridiculous. That's this. That's that. But there's some element there that draws people in. You know, that makes them want to align themselves with these groups and not just what we would look for in terms of, we know that the scriptural part is ridiculous and their theology proper is off and their bibliology is all wrong. Again, I think it's more that they appeal to some social deficiency that people have because it's more of a sociological type of thing. So they want to identify with some group that answers some questions about some kind of lack that they have in themselves, and so they align themselves with these groups.
For the record, what's wrong with this view? What's wrong with their whole doctrine of man and salvation and all of that?
Well, in effect, you know, just to kind of talk about it in a summary fashion, if you think about their view of God as loving only them, instead of God being omnibenevolent, God is unibenevolent, if you will. He loves only one group of folks, and that's them. And he doesn't love everybody else he made, which of course flies in the face of Scripture. But we don't have to really examine that anymore because it simply does. About Jesus being the savior of only the white race, that clearly flies in the face of several passages of Scripture. I think when it comes to my mind now, not to mention John 3:16, but I really think about Romans 1:16-17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, for the Jews first then for the Greek or for the Gentile, for in it a righteousness from God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I mean, we have also 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, saying very similar things about people being baptized all into one spirit, whether Greek or Jew, slave or free. So we have passages like that that clearly refute their position, and they're wrong in looking at it that way. About Jews being descended from Cain, that's utter nonsense. Acts 17:25, I want to say that is, talks about all of us coming from one blood or from one man or from one person. And I want to turn over there and read that. It may be verse 26. It's okay if I read the Bible again, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. it's Acts 17:26, actually. And he made from one man, and I think the King James says one blood, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. So it's hard to imagine that they will look at the same Bible that we look at and conclude the same things that they conclude, first about themselves and other Anglo-Saxon and Germanic peoples, and also of non-Anglo-Saxon and non-Germanic peoples, when the Bible speaks clearly to the contrary.
Yeah, this is a clear example of believing despite the evidence, because when we look at Revelation, and it talks about the throne of God, the throne of the Lamb, it talks about people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. So clearly,
it's an excellent point.
Yeah, clearly their view is just completely contradicted by Scripture.
And that raises another point that they don't really talk about in terms of their eschatology. They do say, again, as I mentioned earlier, that there will be a second advent of Jesus the Christ, but they don't talk about anything about rapture, anything about a millennial reign or any of that stuff. The only time they mention heaven is when they say that Jesus ascended there and is seated at the right hand of God right now, but they don't mention hell at all. So that brings in the whole issue of ethics and morality and God's justice, you know, one of his attributes. I mean, all sorts of stuff starts to come up, but they don't make an attempt to present a well-organized, systematic theology.
Right. It's hard to believe, but Stacy Jacobs, we've come to the end of the show.
Wow.
And that's
it's
been a great topic, Kingdom Identity Movement, with my guest here, Stacy Jacobs. And that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless. I love you.